Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that these words will be your words, not my words, that we can open our hearts and our ears to hear what you need to say to each one of us for your glory. Amen. In our sermon series on giving, we've seen the freedom brought by serving God instead of money, the power of contentment, how God's grace transforms our approach to giving. We've seen about giving without counting the cost. And last week, faith-raising and cheerful giving rather than personal fundraising. Today, we will look at what's called the parable of the rich fool in looking at giving up for others and getting right with God. In society today, we do not usually associate riches with folly. We would tend to think that someone who is rich is clever or wise because they have become rich and have enough wealth to live and retire well and have a secure future financially. So the rich man in our story, in our gospel reading, doesn't seem to be a fool. On the contrary, he seems to have everything figured out. He has worked hard and saved up and can sit back and enjoy life, not having to worry about the future. And this is what everyone seems to want. We're even encouraged to do this from an early age, at school, to choose good subjects, to get to a good university, to get a good job, and to save and to be able to retire well. In the first part of our gospel reading, however, Jesus seems to say the opposite. What does he say? He says, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Really? You mean I should not try to make more money to get more stuff? Every advert I see is trying to convince me to buy things. My friends and peers, and me as well, talk about things or experiences we have paid for. Everyone is striving for something or some experience that others don't have or that they can tell you about. How do you respond to this? I find it hard. I find that I have to make a huge effort to tune out of expensive enticements and focus on my relationship with God and doing God's work. This is not easy in the corporate world. But this is what greed is, what Jesus is talking about. The desire for what we don't have and focusing on that instead of focusing or putting our priority on our relationship with God. If we look to our reading in verses 17 to 19, the rich man is so concerned with himself and what he should do for himself. Just in those verses, we see, what should I do? This is what I'll do. I'll store up my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself. We don't hear him say, "Thank you, God, for all I have, for all my workers for helping me to get it. How can I give away what I have? And how can I help the poor, etc.?" So Jesus is guarding him against this and us against this because we should desire God first, not what we don't have. Jesus is challenging us to think beyond our earthly goals and desires and instead to use what we have for God's kingdom. Currently, the top 10% of highest earners in the world now own 76% of all wealth, while the bottom 50% own just 2%. Now that translates to an average individual buying power of about 3,600 euros for the bottom half of the world and 480,000 for the top earners. But let's remember, when we're saying 3,600 for the bottom half of the world, there are people earning 100, 200 euros a month, if they're lucky. And in the top half, there are people earning thousands a minute. This shocks me. This huge gap between rich and poor is the heart of the world's problems. Furthermore, every year around the globe, 1.3 billion tons of food is lost or wasted. 1.3 billion tons. That is one third of food produced for human consumption. How can we still have people starving in this world? Food losses represent a waste of resources used in production, such as land, water, energy, and inputs, and increase the greenhouse gas emissions in vain. Now imagine how people's lives could be transformed if that one third of food waste decreased and the resources were used to help those without enough food. Or if all the top earners gave more to help those with less, gave 1 minute of their top salaries to those that earn not even the equivalent of 10 seconds of their salary. Our world would be a different place, a very different place. And this has challenged me a lot, and I really recommend this book if you'd like to read more. Obviously, there's a lot of statistics that you can look on the internet. But many of you know Walter Brueggemann, the American theologian. He's written a book called Materiality as Resistance, Five Elements for Moral Action in the Real World. I really recommend this book, and you can do it as a study as well. It defines materiality as the use of material aspects of the Christian faith, as opposed to materialism, which places possessions and physical comfort over our Christian values. He said, "We live in a culture that believes money is the measure of success and well-being. Gospel faith contradicts this in the most profound ways. Its measure of well-being and success is neighborliness." He talks about the difference between money being my private accumulation versus money as a resource that is designed for the welfare of the neighborhood. When the neighborhood includes ones that are like me and ones that are not like me. And a good example of this in the US is Pastor Francis Chan, who preaches more of a poverty gospel than a prosperity gospel. For Francis Chan, he says quite simply, less for me means more for others. And he practices what he preaches. He gives away the royalties of his books to help others. And he and his family downsized their house dramatically and then took in more people to live with them, strangers who needed a home. Honestly, I'd find that really hard to do. I find it hard living with my current family, let alone him having strangers as well. I dream of having a house. My close friend's parents, who were missionaries, when they were back home in Singapore, lived in a flat a similar size to ours. But they had five kids. I only have one. And we have way too much stuff. Francis Chan said in an interview, "To me, the core issue here is to be love." He said, "I think in times of prosperity, I look at scripture and go, wow, this is awesome. Look at this great selling book that I've made and all this money. What do I want to do? I want to give it to people who need it. I get excited about that. That's what Francis Chan says. He gets excited about giving to those in need. He said the concept of downsizing so that others might upgrade is biblical, is beautiful. And this is quite different to the rich man in our story. And this is my first point. What can we give up and give to others? As believers, we are called to think of our neighbor as ourselves, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to give them shelter. So I suggest we do an exercise for this week, and I will do it too. It's not easy for me, as I've explained. Let's think about how much we are giving up to help others. Is it enough? Could we downsize our house or have someone who needed shelter or a home live with us? Could we go without something else unnecessary and give up more? Bottom line, the question for this week, can we get excited about giving to those in need rather than buying for ourselves? Now, if that's not hard enough, please stay with me. If we go back to our gospel reading, after Jesus is challenged to the rich man, and that's only in verse 15, the rich man doesn't listen to Jesus. And he goes on to plan for his retirement and financial security in verses 17 to 19. And we see in verse 20 what happens. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. You will then get what you have prepared for yourself. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Now, if that wasn't enough, Jesus continues to warn. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. The rich man forgot that his life belongs to God, and that it can be taken away at any time. This is the same for us. We can die at any time. For me, this was a real wake-up call. Am I ready to meet with God? Does my life show that I have chosen to follow Jesus instead of the world's way? To be rich towards God instead of for myself? The rich man was so busy planning to be financially secure that he forgot to get right with God. And as Jesus says, when we die, we can't take anything with us. So it's actually not worth having all this stuff and riches for ourselves. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 2, verse 19. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. It is vanity and emptiness, as one commentator put it, if you accumulate your wealth only to enrich yourself with no concern for helping others. You will enter eternity empty-handed. This is what Jesus is warning in this passage. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is not saying it is bad to be rich. Not at all. But that we must use our riches wisely and be prepared. Get right with God, because our riches will not help us or save us when it is time to die. Jesus wants us to be clear where true security lies, in Christ, and where our priorities should be, Christ first. In the rest of chapter 12, and I do recommend you read this whole chapter, there's so much in it, Jesus goes on to explain this further. and especially in verses 35 to 40, to prepare for his coming, because Jesus will come at a time when we don't expect this. My dad was a great example of this. His death came very suddenly, as you know, but he was ready. He said that many times, he was ready to be with God. He said sorry to God for any outstanding things he needed to repent for, and sorry to those he still needed to say sorry to. He said he lived a good life and was one of the most generous people I knew. When my dad died, he only had a small amount of money in the bank, and that was it. No will, no probate, nothing like that to deal with. He gave my brother and I more than we could have ever asked for during his life, and he was always there for us. But he also gave to many and helped a lot of people. People that were outcast as well or ignored in society. He showed great example of kingdom values. Now, I am unfortunately, I'm not at all as ready to meet God and can clearly have less stuff and give up more. This reading challenged me very much. Thank you, Dale. So exercise number two for this week, in case exercise number one is too easy, is to think and pray about what do I need to give up or to do to get right with God? None of this is easy, but it is essential to our relationship with God and to others and to care for our creation. It's also good to consider this in preparation for Lent. There is, however, also encouragement a little further in the chapter where Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what I'm saying on all this, it may sound like bad news, but actually it's really good news. God has given us all we need to do this. And because we are and all that we have belongs to God, our future is secure beyond all measure. Hallelujah! So any downsizing or giving up for others, it's good for us too. What Jesus is showing the rich man and us too is that if we put possessions in the right perspective, our whole life comes into view. We see the big picture. We see what's really important. Eternal joy and our personal relationship with God, rather than the short-lived happiness of possessions. We know that, don't we? We always feel more peace when we give than when we're all wanting something. And that peace and that eternal joy, that comes from God, and that's bigger than all of this. And so we then learn what it means to be rich towards God, as it says in the last verse of our reading, to be thankful for our blessings and generous to our neighbor, whether we love them or not. And that does give us the peace to give and feel better than when we hoard or want more things. Therefore, let's get our security from God and our relationship with Jesus. Let's help others and get right with God to be at peace and ready for our eternal life with him. Because as Francis Chan says, it's biblical and it's beautiful. Amen.